going anywhere.
What if? And then for the one who has offended, you know, pride. Well, I don't want to humble myself and go address that party, tell them that I was wrong. They already know it. But I don't want to have to say it and beg their forgiveness. And yet, we're all offenders. So there's going to be offenses. There's going to be times when we've wounded, hurt somebody. And regardless of what degree of offense, God has told us what to do, how to deal with it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Now go to Ephesians 4, just as a launching verse, and truly a foundational verse whenever you're talking about forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another." Well, that's wonderful. That's godly. Tender-hearted, not cold-hearted. Forgiving one another. Well, look at it. It goes beyond that. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as. And those are such important words. So it's not just forgiving in the way we may be accustomed to forgiving, but rather forgive in the same way God forgave you. And how he continues to forgive you. How did God resolve the broken fellowship between himself and fallen man? He forgave. He took the initiative. He made a plan. And in the omniscience, all-knowing, the knowledge of God, he knew all of the offenses men would make, including the first ones, Adam and Eve. And he knew this would occur. And in before time, he made a plan. And Jesus was to go to the cross. And that's how he would resolve the issues, the offense, man against a holy God. Wasn't divine forgiveness a necessity for a restored relationship with God? Unless God said, "I forgive you," made a means for us to be forgiven, we'd all go to hell. That's how important forgiveness is. And why God tells his children, you need to forgive. You need to seek forgiveness. Because you're always going to step on each other's toes here and there. Sometimes you're really going to hurt somebody. You set pride aside. You're to forgive, just as I've forgiven you. There's an old German proverb that says, if God were not willing to forgive sin, heaven would be empty. Robert Shannon said this, let us always keep in mind that the first word from the cross was a word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So really, what right do you and I have to hold something against somebody? You know? Now, there's means of dealing with it, and it's important to be reminded of these things. The granting and receiving of forgiveness are necessities for any relationship. How are you at forgiveness? In granting it or in saying, I'm sorry? Hey, I'm still working on it. God help us to be like our Savior and forgive in the same way he forgave us. The holding back of forgiveness leads to the development of bitterness and serves as a joy robber in your life and in the lives of those around you. If you will not forgive, and by the way, forgiving means letting go. And we'll get to that, what the Bible says. Let it go. You don't let it go, the proverbial illustration, the ball and chain. You're dragging it around. The offender may not even know he's offended you. Well, I ain't going to them. They need to come to me and ask for my forgiveness. All right. You just keep dragging that ball and chain of bitterness towards that person around. And who's lost their joy? You have. And there's a lot of people out there, sadly, a lot of Christians out there. They got several chains. can't be smiling with all that dragging behind you. What? He said this, she said this, they did this, they did that. Well, you're going to be miserable. God has provided a way for forgiveness to be received and extended, joy, peace, healing. Couples, healing. Forgiveness both ways, healing. Families, church families. We are commanded of God to forgive others in the same way that God has forgiven us. We've looked at Ephesians 4:32. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, notice verse 13. It's a sister verse to Ephesians 4:32. Paul, through the Holy Spirit's leading, says forbearing one another. That means to put up with one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. Well, any and any. So you can't write in any exceptions. Though we would do that. I forgave him. I forgave her. I forgave him. I forgave her. I'm not forgiving him. You won't believe what he did. I don't have to know. I know this. God forgave me everything. And he forgave you everything. And that's why any and any are in there. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you in the same way, so also do ye. Do the same thing. Great instruction. We must forgive and humbly ask forgiveness. We need to be more like our God. Psalms 86. Psalm 86. When we employ the truths of the Word of God, happy are ye. Psalm 86. Excuse me. Yes. Verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's good. Aren't you glad God is good? You know what? He wants you to be good. He wants me to be good. You know what that means? It means being ready to forgive. Not holding a grudge. Not hanging on to bitterness. Not building a wall so the person who may want to approach, I mean, it's like a big wall. No, ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. That's our God. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. You and I deserve hell. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not getting it. That's the mercy of God. The grace of God is getting something you don't deserve. Heaven. That's the grace of God. Grace and mercy. These are truths of the Word of God. All right, go to Luke 17. It'll be our launching place. Our text, rather. Our text. Because here Jesus is teaching about forgiveness. Because there's some misconceptions about forgiveness. And worldly philosophies regarding forgiveness. Beginning of verse 3, we'll read through to 10, okay? And if you get a red letter edition, you've noticed it's the words of Jesus. He is doing the teaching here. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. All right, if your brother's done something, he's come to you. I mean, maybe he doesn't come to you. He's telling you, you go to him and say, look, you hurt me. You tell him. This use of rebuke here is not getting in his face, putting your finger in his nose. You hurt me. You did me wrong. What if God did that with his big finger? It could crush you like a bug. No, God doesn't do that. Rebuke it. Bring it to his attention. And if you repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, let's wait a minute right now. Once or twice, in one day, it's a bit much. Three times, I've had it. Seven times, come on, Jesus. I can't do that. That's what the disciples said. They came up with this idea. This is how we're going to be able to do that. Notice, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We're going to need more faith, God, to do that. You're talking seven times in one day? We're not that spiritual. You're going to have to increase our faith. Now, faith's a pretty powerful thing, isn't it? It's taking you to heaven. No faith, no heaven. Faith in God, faith and trust in what Jesus did. Faith's powerful. And Jesus acknowledges that truth that they've brought up because they think that's the answer to forgiving. Verse 6, and the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I mean, faith is powerful. Jesus acknowledges that. But that's not the answer. So he goes on to teach them what the true answer is. You don't need more faith to forgive. And he uses an illustration, a story, a parable. Verse 7. But I hear your idea. I hear your recommendation. You need more faith that'll take care of it. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me? The proper master-servant relationship. That's what he's bringing to light. He's highlighting as they're contemplating what he's giving as the true solution. And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. In other words, I thank not. No, that's not the master, the proper perspective of master-servant relationship. No, you do what you're told. And when the servant does what they're told, that's what they were expected to do. He continues, verse 10. So likewise, ye, all right, in the same, what you've just been told in the story, you, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, and what's been commanded, what is the topic? Forgiveness, to forgive. That's what I've commanded you. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's it. No more. No greater claim. Well, you wouldn't believe what I forgave him for. You know what he did to me? You know what she said about me? But I forgave them. Oh, aren't you great? No. We are but unprofitable servants. We've just simply done what we were supposed to do. Context, forgiveness. You're to forgive in obedience. You know what you need? You don't need more faith, disciples, modern day Christians. You don't need more faith to forgive. Just do it. Just do it. And don't brag about it afterwards. Because I forgave you. What a wonderful portion here of Scripture. Let's look at this a little bit now. Here's a few of the misnomers regarding forgiveness. What forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It has nothing to do with emotions. My heart was broke. They came to me tearfully, quivering. Please forgive me. My heart was broke. I felt like forgiving them. And I did. What if you don't feel like it? Do you have the option? Forgiveness is not about feelings, emotions. That's what precludes so much forgiveness being granted or received. Emotions, feelings. Feelings. Feelings of pride. Feelings that we're hurt. And Jesus just finished telling us that it's about just doing what I tell you to do. It's not of feelings. Forgiveness is to be granted whenever a sinner repents. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Verse 3 again, Luke 17. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And by the way, do it alone. Matthew 18, 15. Write it down. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him and everyone else you know. Oh, no, that's not in there. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So it's a 101. What's the tendency of the human nature? You know what he did to me? What have they got to involvement here? You know what she said about me? I don't want to hear it. Wow, we got a mature Christian. Between he and thee alone. Now, that's the responsibility, verse 3, of the offended. You're to bring it to their attention. We've said many a time. There are times when the offender doesn't even know they offended you. I've experienced that. Perhaps you have too. And somebody has enough courage, backbone, or obedience to God and approaches me and say, look, something really bothers me. You offended me. 9 times out of 10, I didn't even know. I'm so glad that they came to me. I'm so glad they were obedient to God. And yet, maybe it took some gumption, some courage, some setting aside of pride, you know. Just coming to me and say, gee. And if they came to me, obviously it's not a little something like, you know, most time you let water run off your back like a duck's back, right? You let it go. Little things. But sometimes it isn't little. Sometimes it really bothers us. And if it bothers you, then you have a responsibility to bring it to their attention. And a response, gee, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize that. Please forgive me. Responsibility, them come to me. It's just as much a responsibility for us, the offenders. You know you did something. It may not have been bad, wicked, evil, but it offended somebody. You have the responsibility. Neither party's left out of this. Notice, Matthew 5, and we'll go back to Luke 17, but Matthew 5, important verse here. Two verses, 23 and 24. The Bible says in 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. So here, I mean, here's a man of God. He's going to the house of God, and he brought an offering. And there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Oh, there's something I didn't really tend to yet. I didn't take care of. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. I guess God is not really going to receive my offering, my gift, if I'm not obedient in the area he's already told me to be. If I know I've hurt somebody, I've offended somebody, I need to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. That's it. And by the way, not with a whole bunch of disclaimers. Have you said to God, Lord, forgive me, but the reason I did that, you don't go to somebody and say, please forgive me. I offended you, I hurt you. But I want you to know that you start on some dissertation, you are simply trying to rationalize what you did that renders your repentance to nothing. You're not sorry, you're just trying to go through the motions. You're still trying to cover yourself. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. So you don't have all these caution or extra rationalizations, comments going on, explanations, reasons why. No, no. You'll take the forgiveness right out of the whole picture. You just go and you say, I'm sorry. I did this, I did that. Please forgive me. Humbly. It's humbling. You did wrong. Surprise. There's no surprise. We all do wrong. We all offend at times. But when you do, do what it says. Put your pride aside. Humble yourself. Go to the party and say, I'm sorry. Not, I'm sorry for this, but not that. No, I'm sorry. I offended you. That's the instruction of the Word of God. So, the responsibility is on both parties, the offender, the offended. Now, forgiveness is to be granted repeatedly on the same day if a sinner repeatedly professes repentance, something no one would feel like doing. Again, so the point being made is, it's not a matter of feelings. It's not a matter of emotions. You do not grant forgiveness on the basis of how you feel. Why? Because obviously, here in Luke 17, verse 4, it says, seven times in a day you'll forgive them. Now, Matthew apparently recorded more of that conversation because it continued. Go to Matthew 18. Because it gets even a bigger picture here. Matthew 18, here, led by the Holy Spirit, Matthew records a little bit more. It went beyond the seven. Notice verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I'm no mathematician, but that's 490. And some would say, well, there, I got a number. 491 times, buddy, and I'm at you. I'm not forgiving you. That's not the point, right? It's not a mathematical thing. It's not 7 times 7, 49 times, and then on the 50th, you no longer grant forgiveness. And certainly the 70 times 7, 490 times, doesn't mean you don't have to grant forgiveness when you hit 491. Not that that could ever happen in one day. And that's the point to be made. It's extreme. Why is it extreme? To make a point. There's no limit. There's no limit to what the born-again believer, the child of God, the sin-forgiven child of God, when it comes to forgiveness. You know why? Because God's forgiveness is limitless. It's limitless. I don't care how many times somebody has said to you, I'm sorry, you're to forgive. In the same way that our God has forgiven us. What a wonderful God we have. Did you stop sinning when you got saved? I know the day I asked Christ to forgive my sins and save my soul, all my sins were washed away. All my sins and transgressions were washed away. But you know what? I've sinned since. And God didn't tell me, that's it, no more. Now, he doesn't want me to sin anymore, but I tend, in this carnal nature of mine, to sin. But when I do, I know he will forgive me. There's a fine line. We're not to live our lives presuming upon the forgiveness and mercy of God. Well, he'll forgive me. That's a truth. But don't think he'll forgive you if that's how you went ahead and proceeded in your sin. You have no forgiveness for that sin. We don't presume upon the graciousness and the mercy and the forgiving spirit of our God. But indeed, the truth is, his forgiveness is limitless, and therefore, so should ours. 490 times in a day. That's impossible. It's not going to happen. Somebody would have to offend you every third minute, you know. And there are times I know you think there's somebody that could, but no, that's not true. Forgiveness is a matter of obedience, not feelings. Who, after 490 times, feels like forgiving? That's the point being made. Doesn't matter how you feel. Do it. Just do it. Misnomer. Another thing is, forgiving is not forgetting. Is not forgetting. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, forgive and forget, forgive and forget? Like they go together. Not biblically they don't. They may, but it's not mandatory. There is no command in the Bible telling us to forget in order to forgive. Neither is there scriptural support for the statement, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. That's not true. Consider a murdered loved one. And there are times when it's even come on the news or whatnot, somebody gave forgiveness. I forgive that individual for what he did to my sister or my brother. I forgive. I grant forgiveness. Do you think they'll ever forget that? Of course not. So it's not a matter of forgive and forget. They don't necessarily go together. And they don't have to. Does that mean I'll never forget that? Means I'll never forgive that? No. They're two distinct separate things. References to God forgetting our sins are really statements of God promising not to remember our sins against us. God can't forget. Does that mean he didn't forgive? He can't forget. He's God. But he can choose not to hold things against us. And that's the God of the Bible. A couple of verses. Isaiah and Jeremiah. You might write these down and revisit them. Isaiah 43:25 says this. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Well, that's forgetting. No, he's choosing not to remember your sins. That's what he said. He didn't say, I forgot them. I will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You know what it means, a definition of remember? To recall. To remember is to recall. Remember when you came in the auditorium today, you opened the door, and the door maybe already opened, who you saw when you first came in. Do you remember when you came in the auditorium, be it this door or whatever? You know what you're doing right now? You're recalling. You choose to recall. God says, I choose not to recall. I will remember their sins no more. What a wonderful thing. Did he forget my sins? Did he forget all the kajillion sins I've forgotten because they're so numerous that I've committed? No, he didn't forget one. But he will not recall them. He will not remember them against me. This idea of forgiveness and forgetting going together is not true. It can. In granting forgiveness, we're promising not to recall against them. So if you said, I forgive you, let it go. Let it go. Forgetting is a frequent byproduct of granting forgiveness biblically, but not always. And it's not mandatory. Forgiving is active. You choose to forgive. Forgetting is passive. You don't choose to forget. You forget passively. They may come together, and that's wonderful. And by the way, they can come together. You've opened the door for that when you've truly granted forgiveness. And in time, you may forget. Forgiving is not a feeling. Forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not excusing. Excusing is a form of minimizing sin, of not taking sin seriously. And I think probably we've all been guilty of this at times. Somebody says, gee, I'm really sorry. And what we tend to do, we tend to say, that's okay. It was nothing. That's not the proper way to address it. Not biblically. Minimizing sin can prevent hope because it does not lead to a clear conscience. That's not what that person needs to hear. Don't worry about it. I won't let it be an issue. Well, I need to be forgiven. I won't let it be an issue in my life. It was nothing, really. It's not bad to say kind things. But truly, biblically speaking, excusing sin is a dishonest way of addressing it. It is calling it something less than what God calls it. God doesn't say when you tell this what they call a little white lie, you say, oh, Lord, I told a little lie. It was a little one. Don't worry about it. Would God do that? No, because he's holy. He makes no exceptions. Sin is sin. Offense is an offense, regardless of how small we think it may be. If I offend you and I seek your forgiveness, I need to hear you say that you forgive me, that my conscience might be freed and our relationship may be restored. I forgive you. It opens a door for relationship restored, for healing. Erwin Lutzer, I'm jumping ahead, yeah. Okay, so forgiveness of the world, and by many a Christian, is a feeling, or it's forgetting or excusing. It's not. It's not a feeling. It's not forgetting. It's not excusing. What forgiveness is, quickly, before we close, this is what you need to know. Here's a definition. Forgiveness is a lifting of the charge of guilt from another, a formal declaration of that fact, and a promise never to remember the wrong against them in the future. In other words, it stops there. It's a done deal. Yes, I forgive you. Done. Restoration, reconciliation, healing can come. We only did that which God told us to do. We're obedient. It is a decision, an act of the will, not a feeling. Erwin Lutzer said this, you must choose to forgive whomever has wronged you. Forgiveness is not an emotion, it is a decision of the will. You exercise your obedience to God. It's not an option. You don't filter through, I'll forgive some, I won't forgive others. I will forgive. In fact, my pockets are full of mercy and forgiveness, according to our God, Psalm 86:5. It is a promise not to bring it up again, not to dwell on it, not to share it. If I say to somebody, I forgive you, this is how God treats it with you and I. He doesn't bring it up again, he doesn't dwell on it, and he doesn't tell others about it. So neither are we. We're not to bring it up again. That's regarding the offended or offender, whoever apologized. Not to dwell on it. That's in regards to myself. And then not to share it. That's in regards to others. So all relation, our orientation of an issue that is forgiven is resolved. So it's a promise. And I've said many a time, there's more responsibility to the offended who grants forgiveness than there is on the offender who says, I'm sorry. Now, true, the offender should say, I'm sorry, and I won't do that again. True repentance is changing course, right? 180 degree from what I was doing or saying or whatever I did to the offended, it won't happen again. But it's the other one. The one who's been offended says, I forgive you, who makes this promise, I do forgive you, I'm telling you I forgive you, I'll never bring it up again, and if it pops in my head, I won't dwell on it, I won't fuel that thought, and I certainly won't tell anybody else about it. That's Bible forgiveness. Because that's our God. We're to be more like Jesus. It's just plain obedience to God. Agnes Sanford said this, as we practice the work of forgiveness, we discover more and more that forgiveness and healing are one. They go together. Remember that God commands us to forgive in the same way he's forgiven us, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, even as, same way. So may God help us all to be more like God, like Jesus. Father, forgive them. That should be our spirit, our heart. Croft Pent says this, God forgives our sins, buries them in the deepest part of the sea, and puts up a sign, no fishing. We should do the same. I forgive you. Never mentioned again. Father, thank you for the instruction of the Word of God. It helps us. Help us to mature, to apply these things, that our relationships, be it the husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, neighbors, other family, church family, whatever it might be, the relationship, we reflect Jesus Christ and we are obedient to our Master, the Lord God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.